Old Testament reading this week is Isaiah 52, 7 to 10. You know, if you've been here for a few weeks, we're looking at the whole armor of God. And you know, if you've been here for those same weeks, that every piece so far of the whole armor of God has its root in the Old Testament, and in fact in one book of the Old Testament, in Isaiah. And so we're looking this morning at Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10. Hear now God's word. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now would you turn over to Ephesians 6. Our sermon passage is Ephesians 6:15, but it's weird to read just one short verse when it's part of a bigger picture. And so even though we've read it for the past several weeks, we're going to read again Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. So here again, God's word, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Well, so in this reading from God's word, will you join me now as we pray and ask for his help to understand it? Let's pray together. Our great God, we come to your word thankful for a sure word from you. And yet we come aware of how much we need your help to really understand it, to really believe it, to really put it into practice in our lives. And so we pray that you would give us that help by your Spirit. Would your Spirit open our eyes and open our hearts that we might receive this word by faith, that we might see how it points us to Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that we might be ready for the battle to which you've called us. So we pray for your help by your Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you think about these verses, you may never have worn a soldier's belt or a breastplate, and many of the other pieces of the whole armor of God might be far from your own personal experience, but all of us know how important it is to wear the right shoes, to have the right things on our feet. Think about almost any sport, there's special shoes that you need to wear to play that sport well. Think about certain jobs, or you need the right footwear to do that job well. A Roman soldier needed to have the right things on his feet. And when you're wearing the wrong shoes, you know it. When the shoes don't fit the job, you're aware of that right away. Well, every piece of armor that Paul mentions in these verses is intended to make a soldier ready for battle. You know, Paul, as I've said before, was likely chained up, maybe even on either side, to two Roman soldiers. And so that's the image he has in mind as he dictates the letter to the church in Ephesus. He's thinking about what these soldiers are wearing. And soldiers need to be ready for whatever comes. In fact, the word readiness is actually in verse 16. Verse 15, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In order to be ready, you need all the armor that God provides, but you do also need to have the right things on your feet. What you have on your feet is essential to be ready. And every Christian is to be ready for something. But you might be asking, what are we to be ready for? Well, you have to look back at verses 10 to 13 to see what we need to be ready for. So look there in your Bibles if you have them open. You can see what we need to be ready for is to stand against the schemes of the devil. We need to be ready to wrestle against spiritual forces of evil. We need to be ready to withstand on the evil day. And when the dust of the battle clears, our readiness will finally be proven when we're found still standing firm. That's what it means to be ready. You need to be ready for whatever comes in the Christian life, and the Christian life is a battle. You can't go barefoot into battle. Every Christian faces an enemy, and every Christian is at war, whether you feel like it every day or not. There are likely some days in the Christian life when you feel more at war than others, but every Christian is in a spiritual battle. And God intends and provides for us to be found standing firm to the end. And if you think about readiness, if you think about that term, just being ready, that is directly related to standing. You are more ready when you're standing than you are when you're sitting. You're ready for whatever comes. You have a lot more versatility and flexibility when you're standing than you are when you are sitting. This was brought home this week. It's not often that sitcoms line up with our sermon passage, but I was happened to be watching an old episode of Seinfeld. If you've seen Seinfeld, you know I like Seinfeld. There's an episode where it takes place in an upscale men's clothing store. George Costanza is there. He's shopping and he sees the security guard standing. He thinks, well, that's not right. So he talks to the security guard, gets to know him a little bit, and decides, I'm going to buy this security guard a chair. So the next day he shows up, walks through the doors, and has a rocking chair and presents it to the security guard, who eventually agrees that maybe it would be more comfortable if he were to sit. Of course, the closing scene of that episode is the store being robbed while the security guard is rocking asleep in his chair. And so there's 90s sitcom showing you need to stand to be ready. If you're going to stand, you need the right things on your feet. And so God provides that as he provides all the other pieces of armor. God provides the readiness that is given by the gospel of peace. Well, if you were writing this section yourself, you might decide that you needed to write that what you needed on your feet is the steel-toed boot of steadfastness. That sounds good. Or you might decide, oh, I think on our feet we need the running shoes of endurance. Well, Paul actually had words in the language he was using in ancient Greek that he could have drawn from that actually are more literal words for boots or things that you have on your feet, but he didn't use those words. There are words he could have used, but he chose not to. And that's a good reminder, as we look at the whole armor of God, that we shouldn't be too mechanical, too wooden, in trying to understand what it means and trying to line it up with various things and think about how it all fits together. That's good, and that's sort of intended, but it breaks down after a while. And Paul didn't use a concrete word for shoes or boots. Instead, he says, we wear readiness. That's what we wear. That's what we put on. A more literal translation would be, have your feet shod. I know we don't use that term anymore, but have your feet shod with the readiness to fight the battle and stand firm. And that readiness comes from the gospel of peace. So think about what you're to be ready for. You wear readiness. You're to be ready for battle. And you'll be ready to endure and to stand firm. And so the shoes that we wear are shoes of readiness. And that is cheerful, joyful readiness for battle. It's a joy in Christ and in His gospel that allows us to endure to the end and to fight all the battles that come our way. And so, as you think about putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace, we're called to put on the great joy of the gospel that makes us ready for battle in a dark world. And now you know I've had the armor, the plastic kid's armor of God. The past few weeks I forgot to bring it up with me. They are not shoes. The gospel of peace is not shoes. In the kid's version of the armor, there are plastic, basically shin guards, which I guess is close enough. So if you want to see those, if you were counting on that this morning, come talk to me afterwards, and I will show you the armor of God, the kid version of the armor of God. But it's not super accurate. It's not anything you wear on your feet. It's things you wear on your shins, which is not exactly what this passage is talking about. But what we're to wear is the joy of the gospel. An idea that gets close to this is the term you might have heard. It's used in politics. It's used in life in general. The term and the idea of a happy warrior. You heard that term? We describe someone as a happy warrior, whether they're a politician or a military leader or some charismatic personality. When they are ready to fight and willing to stand firm, but they do that with great joy. They're not angry. They're cheerful. As they fight the battles, they fight with great joy. And they do that because they've been captured by something and are driven by something that's positive and true and good rather than by all the things outside of them that they hate. So I hope you see, we need, in the Christian church, we need more happy warriors. We need more people who've been captured by the gospel of grace, who have been loved by God in Christ, and so put on the readiness that comes from that gospel of peace and live and fight battles with great joy. The world can be a discouraging place. Life can be difficult. Progress can seem slow. But by God's grace, we are part of great joy and great peace that has broken into this dark world. That's what it means to be a Christian. You are part of that new creation. That's what Paul has been talking about all through Ephesians. You're part of the new creation. So when you go to battle, you go to battle as new creatures in Christ, as the inbreaking of light into this dark world. And so rather than be discouraged when we face difficulties, and rather than being surprised that there's a battle to fight, a happy warrior knows that the Christian life is a battle, but it's a battle with a guaranteed victory. It's a battle where we follow a king who has already won. And the shoes for our feet make us those happy warriors for Jesus Christ. And so, are you ready to charge into battle? Are you ready for the battle that you and I have been called to fight? Are you ready to stand firm and to fight with great joy? Well, the gospel makes you ready. Those gospel shoes of the peace that comes from Jesus are how you get ready. So let's look at verse 15 and think about all that's in there, all that it means. First, you need to see that there are two types of readiness. If readiness is the shoes we wear, the things that we have on our feet, there are two types of readiness. There is inward readiness and there is outward readiness. And we really need both. We can't stop with just one. And so let's think first about inward readiness. We have the inward readiness of the gospel when we know that the gospel of peace is for us. It's true about us. It says something that brings life and a hope to us. And so we put this on. We put on that inward readiness of the gospel when we can say, as Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of peace comes to us through the finished work of Jesus for us. I know it might sound obvious or like something you've heard many times before, but you can't hear it enough that none of us are born at peace with God. Naturally, all of us are God's enemies. through sin, through disobedience, through rebellion. We are those who hate God, who are born in enmity with God. And so that's why it's such good news that we have the gospel of peace. And that's been a theme throughout all of Ephesians so far. Earlier in the book, Ephesians says that Jesus himself is our peace. He is our peace with God. He's the one who breaks down the hostility and brings peace when we were once his enemies. When we were lost in sin and enemies of God and far from him, Jesus became our peace. And he did so by standing in our place, by taking the condemnation that you and I deserved. That's in Ephesians 2:14. But then a few verses later, we see that Jesus did not just become our peace. It says in Ephesians 2:17, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. So Jesus is our peace, and Jesus preaches peace. And he does that through the preaching of the gospel. When you hear the gospel, even if you hear it simply in the first part of this service, so you hear the reading of the law, the confession of sin, and the assurance of pardon, when you hear that gospel, that is Jesus, through his words, speaking to you the gospel of peace, preaching peace to you who are far off and peace to you who are near. And so every Sunday, Jesus comes. Every time you open God's word, Jesus is there preaching those glad tidings of peace to you by his word and by his spirit. And so imagine two soldiers standing side by side as the enemy approaches. One of those soldiers is hunched over and burdened with a great weight on his back. In fact, he's staggering under that burden. And the other soldier has no burden. He's actually light on his feet. He's able to stand upright easily. So which one of those do you think is more ready for battle than the other? Well, our guilt for sin and the rupture that has occurred in our relationship with God is that great burden. And all of us are born with it. And it gets bigger as time goes by. And you can't expect to fight well if you're burdened in this way. And so the first step, if you're going to fight spiritual battles, is for your burden to be removed. And the gospel of peace is how that burden can be removed. It's how it's dealt with. I know some of you have read Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, you should. It's a good book to read about the Christian life. But you probably, if you've read it, or even if you've seen a cover of a kid's version of Pilgrim's Progress, you might know that the main character, Christian, starts out carrying a great burden. And it's a burden that only grows bigger. It's a burden that comes with the conviction of sin as he reads God's word, sees how guilty he is. Well, that is a concrete picture of the spiritual burden of sin and guilt that we bear by nature. And we only add to that burden through a lifetime of sinning. And so the burden grows on Christian, grows bigger, it holds him up in his journey, almost spells the end of his life at certain points, but he presses on, and relief comes when Christian arrives at the cross. And as he looks at the cross of Jesus and believes in Jesus' finished work for him, the burden falls off and rolls away and rolls into the tomb and is never heard from again. Well, Colossians 1:20 makes that vivid. It says that Jesus makes peace through the blood of his cross. And so if you are bearing that burden, come to the cross of Jesus, and it will be taken away. If you are a Christian, you've been a Christian for a long time, or for a few weeks or months, but you are a Christian, you know the Christian life is one where you constantly have to be renewed with the gospel of grace. You need the gospel of peace every day. You need to return in a fresh way to the cross of Jesus, where Jesus makes peace for you with God through the blood of his cross. So one commentator writes that the gospel secures our peace with God and gives the assurance of his favor. And so if you have those gospel shoes on, you know you have peace with God. You know that as you go through this life, you're not just at a blank slate where you have to do things to please God. You have assurance of his favor. You have a right and a title deed to eternal life through the finished work of Jesus. That's what you have as you walk through this life. And so do you know that peace with God that comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that assurance of his favor? Well, it's only found in him. And if the only remedy for your burden, if you are bearing a burden, you've tried everything else you can think of to get rid of it, well, Jesus is the only right place. And so in order to fight spiritual battles and to stand firm in faith, we're called to lay aside everything that hinders, everything that is a burden. And the greatest hindrance and burden of all, that is our own sin, has been fully paid for by Jesus Christ. And so the gospel of peace is something inward for you. You need to receive it yourself by faith. Believe in Jesus. Receive his finished work for you. And once you receive that inward readiness, that inward sense of the gospel of peace, it begins to spread. And first it spreads in the church. And you can see that elsewhere in Ephesians. In Ephesians 4:3, Paul writes that those who have known the gospel of peace will themselves be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And in fact, in this passage, in Ephesians 6, if you look at the end, look at verse 23, it says Paul has his final greeting to the church in Ephesus, and he says, to open that, peace be to the brothers. When the God of peace and the gospel of peace seizes your heart, it spreads to others, especially to your other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so a church that's grounded in the gospel of peace, where everyone is wearing those gospel shoes, will be a church that's known for peace and for unity and for peace, meaning an end of anxiety about our standing with God, and therefore an end of anxiety about what other people think about us. It's the peace that can only come from Jesus. Well, the readiness of the gospel starts as we receive the gospel of peace individually and as it begins to spread through the church. And that helps us to endure. Think about the image of shoes. You know, when you have shoes that you've been wearing a long time, the treads wear down. Or you once were able to stand firm, even in wet conditions, it's not so easy to stand firm anymore. Well, the gospel of peace gives us those treads so that we can stand firm in life, so that we can endure to the end. But it doesn't just stop with us. The gospel of peace has a key component of readiness that is about outward readiness as well. So we talked about inward readiness, now outward readiness. And here's the question. This is a passage about fighting spiritual battles. And how do you fight those battles? Well, you fight spiritual battles by unwavering and constant and joyful proclamation of the gospel of peace. And so that's why Paul draws from the passage we read from Isaiah, Isaiah 52. Let me read that again. 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Well, one of the evidences that we have received the gospel of peace ourselves, that it's really taken root, that we've really put it on in our own lives, is that we then have beautiful feet that are ready to take the gospel to others. As you hear that Isaiah passage, you should think about a messenger running over mountains and hills and running through all kinds of terrain and all types of weather. He's running with purpose and with boundless energy because of the message that he has to deliver. And when he arrives at his destination, the people there say he has beautiful feet, not because his feet are particularly beautiful, but because the message that he brings is a beautiful message. And the messenger brings this message. Your God reigns. That's the Old Testament promise, and it's a promise that's fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the God who reigns. He accomplishes his victory through his perfect life, through his death on the cross, through his victorious resurrection, and through his ascension to God's right hand, where he now reigns. That is the message that we have for the world. Jesus reigns and he gives us his peace. that we might spread the good news of his peace through this world. So you know, in John 16, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. And the disciples then take that message. And you can see how they preach in Acts, the book of Acts. Acts 10:36, for example, they're summing up and saying, as for the word that God sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's the message that they have to spread, the good news of peace. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one who died to make salvation, a way of salvation for his people. He is Lord. He is ruling over all. And then in that same passage, Acts 10, the gospel of peace is proclaimed not just to those who are Jewish, not just to those who have Israel as their heritage. In that passage, it's proclaimed to Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Jesus is Lord of all and the Savior from sin. And he is the only Savior for anyone in this world. There's no other way of salvation but through Jesus. But he is that way. So anyone who comes to him, in the book of Acts, you remember Acts 10, they're so surprised that the gospel has come to Gentiles, but after they realize that it really has come to Gentiles, they begin to rejoice. And they send Paul and Barnabas as messengers of the gospel of peace to the Gentiles. You can see Paul picks up that Isaiah passage again in Romans 10, where he talks about the necessity of preaching the gospel. God sends preachers with the gospel message to proclaim the peace of God that's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so if you think about fighting spiritual battles, I said you shouldn't think about books you may have read, fiction books, Frank Peretti books, for example, about spiritual warfare. You should think about the proclamation of the gospel. When God's word is proclaimed, when the good news is made known, that is how spiritual warfare is waged. And so this happens in church. This, I hope, is happening right now. It's one who is called to preach, proclaims the gospel of free grace, week in and week out. And so I hope you pray that I might do that faithfully. I hope you look for churches when you're on vacation or at different phases of life where that is proclaimed plainly and clearly and faithfully. And so it does happen in church. It happens on Sunday. That's a key place where it happens. But all of you who are here are proclaimers of the gospel as well. If you have those gospel shoes on, it means that you need to have a readiness to share the gospel. And the starting point is where we started. In order to share the gospel, you have to know the gospel yourself. You have to be captured and transformed and changed and relieved by the peace that that gospel brings. But you also need to be ready for opportunities that you have to speak the gospel. So can you imagine what it really looks like to put on these gospel shoes? Think about just a regular day in your week. You wake up every day. And you're assured of God's love, not because of anything that you have done, not because of any way you've worked to earn it, but because Jesus has earned it for you. And you have peace with God through him, and you receive it by faith. Imagine waking up in that way each day. I hope that you do. And I know we could all wake up to that reality more and more. And you're so awed by the gospel as you go into your daily life that you can't help but find it slipping into your conversation. You can't help but talk about Jesus. You can't help but talk about the good news. And when you do that, just in everyday simple ways, you shouldn't be surprised that doing this actually leads to those who are lost coming to faith in Jesus. You should not be surprised when your simple witness, your simple proclamation of Jesus is used by God to bring people who are lost to faith. In fact, you should pray for it and expect that. And so that's just one person. That's just you. But imagine if you have a whole church filled with people who wear the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, what happens then? Well, in the book of Acts, there are a few references to the word multiplication. In a few of those places, the book of Acts says that the word of God was multiplied. And that's what those who wear gospel readiness do. They multiply God's word. If you want to know a good way to have gospel conversations with people that takes the pressure off of you, say to someone who you've gotten to know, who you've maybe shared the gospel with, would you like to just read through the Bible with me? Let's just read the gospel of Mark. Let's start there. And let God do the work through his word. Let God equip you to answer questions. But bring those people in your life into contact with Jesus through the word that he's given. So we want to see the word of God multiply. But the result of that, the result of the word of God multiplying, is the other use of multiplication in the book of Acts. The church multiplies. God adds those day by day who are being saved. And so our goal as a church is simply to be faithful. To be faithful in the ministry of the word and in worship. But one sign that we are being faithful is multiplication. Is that people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe they are not becoming members of this church, but through our witness, through our simply being faithful, they are coming out of darkness, out of the bondage of sin, into the light of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what that might look like? Can you imagine new churches? Can you imagine new believers? Can you imagine new people being taught the gospel? Well, it starts in a small way, with simple faithfulness, with simple willingness to maybe be a little bit uncomfortable and talking about Jesus at some point and seeing how God uses that. So think about what it would look like for us as a church to more and more wear those gospel readiness shoes. It would look like a church that's ready to welcome in people who have no Christian background at all, but who need to hear, who are interested in some, for some reason, by the Holy Spirit's work in their life already, they're interested in the good news. So all of this comes from first, you and I putting on those shoes of gospel readiness. I think I've said every week as we've worked through this armor, that every piece is essential. Without it, you're not going to be effective. I hope you see, without those shoes, without the right thing on your feet, you are not going to be effective. You're not going to be ready for that gospel warfare. So shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And I hope you also have seen that every piece of armor has a direct reference to Jesus Christ. You are ready if you are in him. You put on the shoes of the gospel of peace when you are in Jesus Christ, the one who at his birth the angels proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Jesus is the one who brings the gospel of peace. He himself is our peace. And so you put on those gospel shoes when you put on Jesus Christ by faith. Let's pray now and ask for his help to know him better, to believe in him more. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to wear these shoes of readiness. We want to be equipped for spiritual battles. We know we need your help, and we know we need Jesus. So would we find him in your word? Would we put our faith and trust and hope in him? Would we know that we are ready for battle when we are found in Jesus Christ and in him crucified, risen, and coming again? We pray for your help that this might be true of all of us and of our church more and more. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.